Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today I'm going to be chatting with Scott Stabile about Enough As You Are. Really excited to chat about this topic and his book with you in the next few minutes. You are listening to Creating Wellness from Within, a podcast devoted to helping you live your best life through self-care and wellness. Each episode, we strive to offer you actionable advice and tools to help you on your journey towards greater personal wellness. I am your host, Amy Zellmer, and I am editor-in-chief of Midwest Yoga and Life magazine and author of the Chair Yoga Pocket Guide, available on Amazon. I am passionate about yoga, wellness, photography, travel, and all things glittery. You can learn more about me at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com. Today, my guest is Scott Stabile, and he is the author of Enough As You Are and Big Love, The Power of Living with a Wide Open Heart. He is a passionate love advocate who believes there is no force more powerful than love to create real connection and healing in our world. Scott guides transformational breathwork journeys and leads personal empowerment workshops internationally. His inspirational posts have attracted a huge and devoted social media following. Welcome to the podcast, Scott. So happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm happy to be here. And I want your pocket guide. I've never done chair yoga, and I'm curious about it. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Chair yoga for everybody. Great. It's for everybody. People think it's just for seniors, and it's like, no, chair yoga is great for anybody.
I like that. Anywhere. So when I'm binging on Netflix, I can actually do something that supports my body.
Yes. So, Scott, you are the author of this beautiful book, Enough As You Are. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what inspired you to write this book? What brought you here? And I know this is your second book, correct?
Yeah, my second with New World. Yes. And Enough As You Are is a compilation of short prose and poetry. So there, every page is its own little piece of writing. And it's much of the writing is stuff that I've shared over many years on social media, along with new writings. And when I was putting it together and looking at the pieces that I was really called to include in this collection, so much of it is rooted in self-love. So much of what I write about and speak about is around self-love and just a deep belief that the relationship we have with ourselves is what informs how we show up for every other relationship and situation and everything in our lives. Which is why it's, I believe, so critically important to give intentional energy to creating a more loving and compassionate relationship with ourselves. So, I mean, the book title kind of says a lot of what the book's about, Enough As You Are. And I love to remind people that, you know, their worth is inherent. It's not predicated on anything they've done or how they look or who they're married to. All of that is beautiful if it adds meaning to your life, and it has nothing to do with your inherent worth as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just the self-love component of it, because it saddens me how many, particularly women, I know it affects, you know, all sexes, but just they're always trying to seek love externally from somebody else. And it's like, you have to learn to love yourself first, really, before you can open yourself up to others. I feel if you can't love yourself, how can you let others love you? So curious,
I feel
your
mixed
thoughts.
I feel mixed about it. Cause I think at the essence of that idea is my belief that the capacity with which we love ourselves is the same capacity with which we're able to generate and receive love. At the same time, you know, I've certainly had the experience where I was caught up in my own self-loathing, and yet I was able to show up for people in my life with a really open and loving heart. Sometimes it's actually easier to love others than it is to love ourselves.
Yeah, often absolutely.
It is. Yeah. So I think For me, love is a really abundant energy. It's everywhere, inside of us, outside of us. And I think anytime we're playing with that energy, we're of service to ourselves and our world. And to your point, the more we focus on getting into good relationship with ourselves, the more likely we are to see that we're available to more than we were ever available to before in terms of what we're able to give and receive. Mm-hmm. There's no downside. Love is a pure positive energy. It's mm-hmm. beautiful, and there's no downside to loving another person. There's no downside to loving yourself. Just keep loving. Let it flow.
Yes. Yes. And you're right. Like, there can never be too much love and abundance of love. And, you know, self-love is also self-care. Right. Yeah. It's a form of self-care in and of itself as well.
All the time. For me, every second of self-care is a reflection of self-love. And that's something I like to remind people, because I meet a lot of people who say to me, they don't know how to love themselves and they don't love themselves. And what I invite people to consider is the ways that they actually are loving themselves all through the day, but we just tend to take it for granted. You know, anytime mm-hmm. you're brushing yeah. your teeth, preparing yourself a meal, putting on an article of clothing that makes you feel good, this is all self-care, which means it's all self-love. And I think there's great value in acknowledging those moments, because for me, Amy, everything is energy. Mm-hmm. So if I'm willing, instead of taking for granted the ways in which I'm showing up for myself lovingly, if I'm willing to just rest in that for even 5 seconds and just acknowledge this is me loving myself right now, what that does automatically is it refutes this false idea that we don't love ourselves or we can't love ourselves. And then it naturally, I think, just generates more of the same, a greater likelihood that we're going to continue to show up in a self-caring and self-loving way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, if more of us could, you know, learn self-love and to just love everybody, right? Like, regardless of who they are, like, they could really be a horrible person, but just still sending them love and light, right? Like, what harm is there in that? I think our world would just be such a better place if we all practiced that.
For sure. And like you said, there's no harm in that. Like, when I'm resting in my heart, the only guidance my heart ever gives me 100% of the time, no matter who is involved, is just love. That is the only mandate of the heart. And I understand, like, this human reality is intense and violent and unpredictable and insane mm-hmm. and all of these things. And it's not always easy to rest in our hearts, especially when someone's in front of us triggering us or saying things that we find abhorrent. For me, it's not about needing to agree with people. It's not even for me about needing to like people. I don't like everyone I encounter. Mm-hmm. Right. It's about understanding that no matter what, we can still generate and offer the energy of love. Even if we have to do it from afar, even if we've decided that to love myself means I can't be in proximity of this other person in this relationship because it feels too unhealthy. That's a beautiful, loving choice to make for myself. And then can I compound that by sending loving energy if I'm able to that person because I feel better? That's the thing. I want to feel good as often as possible. This is, again, this world is sometimes not the easiest world to feel good in. And the human experience isn't all about that. And yet I think an innate human desire is to feel good. And what I've discovered in my life is that when I am centered in love and aligned in my heart, it's the best I feel. I don't ever regret it. I don't ever regret following love and all that love invites in my life. And also, just to be clear, I fall off the love train plenty. I'm not someone who's always living in this loving space. I can be a jerk and all that stuff. I practice at nudging myself back onto the love train as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I'm curious, do you practice Reiki?
I don't. No, I've received Reiki. Mm-hmm. Why do you ask?
Well, I'm just curious, like, because everything you're talking about are sort of the principles of Reiki. So I was curious if you're a practitioner. You're probably already just doing it intuitively without even realizing.
Exactly. No, like,
yeah.
Well, when I think Oh, go ahead, please.
Oh, when I went through my Reiki training, I realized I was already doing it. I just didn't know that that was the name for it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the essence of so many of these modalities and practices at their core, it is like making yourself available to source energy, making yourself available to the energy of love, and allowing that energy to move through you, kind of getting out of the way, right? Isn't this so much of this path for me is just getting out of the way of the will of love to work through me and see what it creates by doing so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you refer to yourself as a love advocate. What does that mean to you?
Actually, love activist. I know that the thing that Kim sent you said love advocate, but that was something that a friend called me once, and I was always a person who, whenever anyone asked me what I do, I would stutter through an incoherent like response of, "Well, I do some writing and I do some and I never knew what to say." And then this friend referred to me as a love activist, and I'm like, "Ah, that's a title I can own. I make a lot of noise for the power of love in our lives." Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what that means to me.
Advocating for everybody to love one another, essentially.
And themselves.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
And
without getting caught up, you brought up women earlier, and I think that there's a conditioning that women undergo that's much more extreme than what men receive around this idea of selfishness also. And I think that creates a block for some people to really take a dive into exploring self-love and how that looks. Because women, especially, they're like, they need to be the caretakers and make sure everyone else is taken care of before they look after themselves, which is nonsense, but it's also deep conditioning that's hard to just transcend.
It's generational trauma.
It's absolutely. So what I like to remind people is, for me, self-love is just the most beautiful selfishness that exists in the world, because love always transcends self. The energy is never just contained within the self. Anytime you are showing up for yourself in a loving way, you're being of service to the people in your life. And if you pay attention and bring awareness, you're going to see that how you're showing up for people in your life when you have a more loving relationship with yourself is wholly different. Mm-hmm. How you show up for our planet when you have a loving relationship with yourself is wholly different. How you show up for everything. So don't get caught up in this idea of it's selfish to focus on your own self-care and self-love. It is in service to all. I really believe that deeply.
Yeah. I think when you love yourself, or at least, you know, you're working on it, you're not in self-loathing, right? When we love ourselves and show up in the world that way, it just, you attract different people.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're self-loathing, that's when you're more likely to attract the narcissist or the abuser or the person who just wants to take advantage of you. And when you show up in that self-love, that's when you're attracting other people who have self-love and truly just love one another and want to help you succeed and lift you up and watch you grow.
Yeah, it's all energy, right? And it's like if when I pay attention, when I'm moving through the world out of balance with my self-worth, I'm much more likely to attract situations and people that don't ultimately support me and what I'm looking for. And conversely, it's like you said, when I'm open and connected to my inherent worth and loving myself, who I attract into my life and what I'm willing to put up with wholly changes.
Yes.
It's like a person who's rooted in self-worth does not allow the same things in their lives that they did when they were feeling dejected and like they weren't worth anything. You know, it really is energetic.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like if you've ever gone out to eat with somebody and that other person just is rude to the server, and they're like, you know, snapping their fingers at them and expecting mm-hmm. things to come out quickly and blaming mm-hmm. the server if the food doesn't taste good. Like, you know, we've all been out to eat with that person. Yes. And you're just sitting over there like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed that I'm with this person. And then like you try to bury, just, you know, make eye contact with the server. Like, I'm so sorry. But, you know, it's that similar energy fields, right? Like,
yeah, well,
the analogy I was trying to make, but yeah, go ahead.
No. And just, you know, one of the questions I've received is often, or more often than any other over the years, from people is some version of, I'm in a really toxic relationship, what should I do? And I don't tell people what to do in the relationships, you know, especially people I don't know who are just mm-hmm. writing me. But I do encourage them to look at why they are continuing to stay in a relationship mm-hmm. that they deem toxic. Right. And when you were giving that example, what I was thinking of was someone I dated who was that person. and it's like, in a way, that alone could have been enough for me to realize, like, yeah, this is not a match. This is like, there were a lot of beautiful things about him too, but that was an attribute that was just like, this is not something I want to be around, mm-hmm. you know? And I really think that ultimately, we have to take responsibility for the choices we're making and how we're choosing to show up. If we're mm-hmm. engaged with someone and we feel the experience we're having is toxic, it's incumbent upon us to make the choice to walk away rather than yeah. hoping for the other person to change, which we've all done however many times over, and mm-hmm. that never happens. So, yeah, just recognizing, like, and also, if you're engaged in anything that you believe is toxic, the only possibility is that you're also bringing something toxic to it. Mm-hmm. There's no other reality that can be happening. You can't believe you're in a toxic relationship and not be a toxic component of it.
Yeah.
So free yourself, free the other person, you know? And again, I think when we come back to self-love and self-worth, we're likely to see that we're just not giving energy to those types of relationships anymore. Our worth yeah. won't allow it. Our self-love won't allow it.
Yeah. And I think you're so right. I think we've all been in a toxic relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship, a work, coworker relationship, a friendship, whatever it is, we've all experienced it in some form yeah. or many. yeah. And like you said, like, we're also contributing to it, whether we can acknowledge it in that, we can't acknowledge it in that time. But if you take a step back from it, I think you can usually see that you are also contributing to it. And, you know, those, the individuals who kind of thrive in toxicity, they seek out people who don't have that self-love and that self-worth. Right.
Sure.
And they kind of prey on it, in some ways. And, you know, those individuals are so much more vulnerable because they don't have that self-love and self-worth and just that ability to stand up and say no. And I think that is the most valuable thing that can come. Like, I look back at my life as I've grown, and I look back at some of those past relationships, and it's like, man, how did I ever put up with that? Like, I would yeah. never put up with that. Now I'm a totally different yeah. person. And yeah. it's because I've done a lot of inner work and growing in those ways. And I think a lot of people could relate to looking back at things like, how did I put up with that long?
And what a beautiful reflection, right? Because I think that's another thing we all do, is it's very easy to take for granted the progress we've made in our lives, especially if
True.
Where we are in moments still doesn't feel like where we could be. But when we look at where we are compared to where we were, we see, you know, leaps and bounds happen to get us to that point. And also when we, you know, the thing about self-love is both sides of that toxic dynamic are people who don't love themselves. That's the thing. Yeah. It's not only the person who's being disrespected or yep. abused, or it's like the lack of self-love manifests in many different ways, mm-hmm. in really aggressive, it can be very aggressive ways. I mean, look at our world. Look at the violence of this world. Yeah. This is not a world that is fueled by people loving themselves.
No.
It's not, you know, I feel like so much of the anger we see in general is in part because so few of us feel like we can really be our authentic selves in this world. And how frustrating that is, mm-hmm. to just not be able to move through the world in what feels like an honest and true way. And I feel like that just fuels the rage and the dehumanization that everyone seems to be doing with everyone else. So again, it's an argument for loving ourselves. It is love is the answer. I really believe that, not from a naive place, without the energy of love, I do not believe healing is possible. You have to have love. There are any number of things that are powerful change agents. Anger is an important emotion. It is incredible at creating change, but anger alone is only going to create more of the same. Mm-hmm. You have to support it with love, or nothing gets healed. Things shift, and then we see the same things playing out over a different set of circumstances.
Yeah. You know, we've had conversations about how if, you know, Congress and the Senate, like if they had to do yoga and breath work before they went into meetings, like how different things could be.
Absolutely. I was just talking to my friend. I said, I wish we could spike the water with MDMA for all the politicians around the world. Just give them a jolt of ecstasy and see if that doesn't shift things. But or yoga and breathwork, of course, if we want to eliminate the drug part.
and you know, and it's like there is such hate being spewing into our world for some of these leaders. And they're basically saying not to love your neighbor, right? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. That is essentially what it's boiling down to.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just can't comprehend. And, you know, if you're on social media at all and you see like some news, okay, here's a good example. Minnesota just redid its state flag. Okay. Seems like a pretty benign thing, right?
Nothing's benign.
It's just a flag. Anymore. It's just a flag. It's a state flag. And oh my goodness, the hate that is being spewing in the comments. And it's just like, how can you be so upset about a freaking flag? Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is in changing our flag is because there was some racist things on our current flag, you know, against the indigenous folks whose land we live on. And so it's just like, there's such a like mismatch in the world right now, right? Like you have all this, and clearly those people spewing that hate about a flag, a pretty benign object. Right. And they clearly don't love themselves enough that they have to spew so much hate. And like how, so I know all we can do is send them love and light, right? That's really all that we can do. But what else can we do?
We can be the example that we want to see in this world. That's really all we can ultimately do is that's what I've come to realize. It's like, whether I see our world as flourishing or imploding, what is the call within me? It's the same call to show up as lovingly as I can possibly show up, to make noise for the power of love in our world. So it doesn't, in essence, it doesn't matter what is happening in the outside world. Not that it doesn't matter, but do you know what I mean?
Right,
in terms of who I want to be and how I want to show up. And for everybody listening, it's like, that is only a question you can answer for yourself. You know, if you want more love and if you want to see more love and compassion, how are you showing up in that way? What are you doing when someone posts something that angers you on social media? Are your fingers on the keyboard attacking them? Or are you able to state what your convictions clearly without dehumanizing and condemning others? Mm. Right? Like That's the thing where everyone is upset with the state of the world. Everyone's upset with the state of this country and the division and the hatred and the anger. It seems like that's one thing everyone can agree on, is that we all don't like what's happening. Well, okay, then own how you're contributing to it and make different choices as often as possible. It is always within our power to ask the question, you know, what is love inviting me to do right now? How is love asking me to show up in this moment? You know, how can I potentially move this forward instead of backward? These are things that we can ask ourselves. And then if we're brave enough to act in alignment with the heart-centered answers we receive, we are going to be doing our part to create some change here. And that's all we can ultimately do. And even in your activism, like, be an activist. If you feel that call to be an activist and make a lot of noise for whatever it is you're doing, can you do so without dehumanizing the other side? Mm-hmm. Right? Can you be so clear without at the same time needing to dehumanize? And that's what I'm seeing on all sides of the spectrum. Everyone's dehumanizing everyone else. And it's wildly disheartening. And it's also for me, it makes it clear for me that I do not want to participate with any groups, any tribes, any organizations that foundationally are not about love and are not expressing it in the way that they're showing up in their activism. Mm-hmm. And that's what I come to every time I step outside of myself and allow the, like, because I'm angry about the injustices in this world. I mean, it's insane what's happening here. I just know for myself that the way I need to express my convictions and stuff, it has to stay aligned in my heart or I feel way off balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're so right. You know, the different groups, you know, they're trying to incite hate, really. And how do you combat hate? You combat it with love. So, I love that idea of only working with groups who love is their core value, and just combating it, you know, what's the saying? Shower them with kindness, shower them with love.
So, yeah.
The hippies were onto something, right? With the make love, not war.
And look, love is often the hardest choice. Truly. Right? It is so, our minds go to war so easily.
They're hardwired for negativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, truly. But when we can continue to bring ourselves back to a loving place, that we serve ourselves first and foremost. Mm-hmm. You know, we create more peace in our bodies and our energetic beings first and foremost. And then that is naturally what we offer the world around us.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I just think of how, when I see these angry comments, and it's like, man, I do not want to live in their nervous system. Their nervous system is out of control.
It's hard enough to live in my own nervous system. Right? It's hard enough to be with my own mind. And I've done a lot of work, and I look at the insanity of my mind. Right. I'm like, wow, that is a trip, what the minds are able to come up with, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel you there.
Yeah, just taking that pause before you react to something and can just save your nervous system a whole lot.
For sure.
Well, Scott, I want to make sure we take a moment. Wherever anyone is listening, in the show notes, there is a clickable link to your website, which is scottstabile.com. Right. So tell us a little bit. I know you're also on Substack. So tell us a little bit about how people can find you, work with you, learn about you.
Sure. I mean, the website's one place, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook. And then I have a newsletter with new writing that through Substack, which is scottstabile.substack.com, which I encourage you to subscribe to. It's free to do so. You can choose to pay, but it's also free. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to stay up to date with everything I'm doing. Got a workshop in Bali in May of 2024 with my dear friend, David Gandelman, who's this meditation master teacher. And it's going to be breath work and meditation and using writing as a tool for self-reflection. And it's in my opinion, one of the most beautiful places on the planet, Bali.
That sounds amazing. amazing.
Yeah. But if you did, yeah, you can Google me. You'll find me pretty easily, I think.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for being here today and just sharing with our listeners. And thank you for the work you do and the energy you put out into the world.
Thank you so much, Amy. Appreciate it.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you are listening to help others on their own wellness journey discover this podcast. And also be sure to head to MidwestYogaLife.com and join our email list to stay in the know of local events, the upcoming yoga conference, and so much more. Thank you all so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.